So I have two quick announcements. First, my parents are here visiting from Texas, Paul and Mary Kay Park. Mom, I'm gonna actually stand up real quick and just kind of wave. Welcome my parents to back to St. Michael. I think my mom brought her winter jacket this morning. Secondly, it's the summertime, and so we don't have our weekly school mass during the summer, obviously, but we've added a new Wednesday morning daily mass at 11 o'clock for the rest of the summer until school starts in September. And so just an encouragement, especially parents, if you're looking for something to do with your kids during the week, come to daily mass at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays and go out to lunch afterwards. Kids, you have my permission, if you come to mass on Wednesday, to ask your parents to take you for ice cream after mass. If we have a funeral on Wednesday, the funeral will trump the 11 o'clock daily mass. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. In this passage, is Jesus speaking literally, or is he speaking symbolically, figuratively? This, of course, has been a classic debate between Catholics and Protestants for centuries. Is Jesus literally saying we should eat his flesh and drink his blood? Of course, as Catholics, we've always said, no, in this passage, Jesus is speaking literally about his desire for us to feed on his flesh and blood. But how do we know that? How do we know Jesus is speaking literally here and not figuratively? Because we know in the Gospels, Jesus speaks figuratively many times. Our church now has many of those passages on the walls, right? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd." Above the baptismal font, there's the, "I am the true vine, I am the gate." When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," does he literally mean that he's like actual light, like light waves? Or when he says, "I am a good shepherd," does he mean he's actually a shepherd and cares for actual living sheep? Or when he says, "I am the true vine," is he saying, I'm actually like plant material and photosynthesis happens within me? Or when it says, "I am the gate," is he like, I'm actually like this metal thing that opens and closes? Well, no, obviously all these clearly Jesus is speaking in a symbolic way when he says, "I am the gate, I am the true vine," etc. But again, how do we know when he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world," how do we know he's not speaking symbolically here? A good way to make this argument to understand why this is literal here in John chapter 6 is to look at some other accounts in the Gospels when Jesus does speak figuratively. I'm going to look at two different examples, one from Matthew's Gospel and one from John's Gospel, and you're going to see in both situations this formula. First of all, step one, Jesus is going to say something mysterious. Step two, people are going to take him literally. Step three, he's going to correct them to explain, no, I'm not speaking literally here, I'm speaking metaphorically, symbolically. Let's look at one. This is in Matthew chapter 16. This is right after Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, that great miracle. Matthew writes this, "In coming to the other side of the sea, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread. Jesus said to them, 'Look out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' The disciples concluded among themselves, saying, 'Is it because we have brought no bread?' Jesus said, 'How do you not comprehend that I was not speaking to you about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' Then the disciples understood that he was not telling them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Okay, do you see the pattern here? Jesus, first step one, he says something mysterious. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What does that mean? Step two, people take him literally. The disciples concluded among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have brought no bread?" They think he's talking about literal leaven, yeast, bread. Step three, Jesus corrects them. How do you not comprehend that I was not speaking to you about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood he was not telling them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's using leaven as a symbol of the teaching, the incorrect teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, you following me? Let's look at another example. Remember, Jesus says something mysterious, people take him literally, Jesus corrects them. John chapter 4, this is right after the story of the woman at the well. We read it almost every year during the Lenten season. Jesus has this powerful encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. His disciples had gone into town to get food. She has this great conversion. She leaves all excited, and then the disciples come back, and then we read this. The disciples went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." I have food to eat of which you do not know. Step one, mysterious. Step two, the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" They take him literally. Step three, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work." Step three, Jesus clarifies, no, I'm not talking about literal food here. The food he's using here is he's talking about doing God's will. Jesus says mysterious thing. People take him literally. Jesus corrects him. That's not what I was trying to say. Now let's look at the gospel from today, John chapter 6, and we're going to see something very different. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Step one, mysterious. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world? What does that mean? Step two, people take him literally. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Good question. They're clearly taking him literally. And so now you would expect step three, right? Jesus is going to correct them. No. I don't mean to literally eat my flesh. And that's, no. Let me spiritualize it in some way, in some symbolic way. But notice this time, there is no step three. Jesus does not correct their literal interpretation because that is the correct interpretation. What does Jesus say next? He doubles down. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." This is not the language of symbolism. He doesn't correct their literal interpretation again because that's the right interpretation. He says, "My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink." He's emphasizing that he's speaking literally here. And of course, the greatest way that we know that Jesus is speaking literally here in John chapter 6 about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is what happens right after this passage. Jesus is preaching in Capernaum in a synagogue, and the people that are listening to him are mostly his disciples. Remember, Jesus had the 12 apostles, but he also had many other disciples. He had dozens of disciples, men and women who followed him. And these are the ones who are listening to this sermon right now. And John writes right after this sermon where he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, John writes that after this, the people said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And then many of them left. They stopped being disciples at that moment. They walked away from Jesus because they're like, "This guy's crazy. He's saying we've got to eat his flesh and drink his blood." And here's the key point. Jesus lets them leave. Let's just say for a moment that Jesus actually was speaking symbolically here. Clearly, these people took him literally. They thought he was crazy, and then they left. If that was the real interpretation, a symbolic interpretation, don't you think at that moment, as his disciples are walking away from him, Jesus would have said, whoa, come back. You guys totally misunderstood me. But he doesn't do that. Why? Because they're walking away with the correct understanding, the correct interpretation. They just don't believe. And then there's the great climax in John's gospel, when after all these disciples begin to leave, Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, are you going to leave too? And then Peter makes that great confession of faith when he says, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Is Jesus speaking symbolically sometimes? Does Jesus sometimes speak symbolically, metaphorically in the Gospels? Of course he does. But in this situation here, in John chapter 6, when he says, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world, he's speaking literally. And how is he going to do that? He fulfills this sermon a year or so later at the Last Supper when he takes bread and he takes wine and he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And for 2,000 years, Christians, we've been gathering together with a priest around an altar to celebrate the greatest gift that Jesus left us, the gift of his very body and blood, his literal body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's what we celebrate today on Corpus Christi Sunday, to remember how important, how essential the Eucharist is in the life of the Christian disciple. And so the question I always have to ask myself is, am I going to leave Jesus like those disciples did? Am I going to leave, or am I going to say the words of Peter? Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I'm going to stay here with you, with your church, with this altar, with the Eucharist. I don't always understand it, but I believe. I'll leave you with this, one of my favorite quotes about the Eucharist. I've probably mentioned it before, but it's worth mentioning again, from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He once said this about the Eucharist. He said, if we truly understood what we receive in Holy Communion, we would gladly crawl on broken glass to receive it.